Welcome to Hustle and Motivate, presented by JokerMag.com. On this podcast, we sit down with real-life underdogs in the world of sports, entertainment, and more. We focus on their mindset, how they overcame adversity, and lessons they've learned along the way. Our mission is to show you the power of the underdog mentality. Underdog mentality. Because hungry dogs run faster. Here's your host, Tyler O'Shea.
I'm here with Manny Espinal. Manny is a Major League Baseball reporter for Big Sports Bulletin and Canal America, a news station in the Dominican Republic. Really excited to have Manny here to tell his underdog story and to learn more about what it's like to be a sports reporter. Manny, thanks for coming here, man.
Thank you very much for having me, man. It's awesome to be here.
So can you tell me a little bit more about, you know, your current role and what you're up to nowadays?
Of course, yeah. So what I do is I mostly cover Major League Baseball, but I cover all sports. Like this past year, I was lucky enough to go to a few Jets games and Giants games and stuff like that. It's awesome to cover all the sports. But what I do is I usually go to baseball stadiums. I cover teams. I cover specific players, depending on what it is. Usually because I work for a Spanish station, it's usually for Latin American players, so it's usually Spanish players. But regardless, I'd like to speak with anyone to build my credibility and also to build my arsenal of interviews that I have, because I like to speak with every player that I can possibly get to. So that's usually what I do. I go to Citi Field, Yankee Stadium, Citizens Bank Park. Doesn't matter. I love to go to all the stadiums.
Great. So you're based out of New York?
Yeah, based out of New York. Yeah. So when I'm usually at Citi Field or Yankee Stadium.
Okay, cool. So take me back to when you were younger. Was baseball always your passion?
Yeah, of course, man. Baseball is definitely my favorite sport. I love the sport. It's definitely something that I don't have to ever try to love. I'm always passionate about it. I love to. It's not a job for me. This is like a dream come true, being able to go to the stadium and cover these teams. Because this is a sport that I'm super passionate about. I wake up every day. The first thing I do is I check Twitter and I see different reports, different articles about baseball. I absolutely love the game. So calling this work would be wrong, because I don't think this is work. I love this job.
So growing up, did you always want to be a sports reporter, or what was your dream?
No, actually, sports reporting actually kind of like. I stumbled upon it actually because I made a connection with a person that worked at a Dominican news station that saw me very interested. Obviously, basically we connected through the love of baseball. We love baseball, and through that connection, through that love of baseball, we started to talk, and he got to know me a little bit, and he told me that he works for a Dominican news station, and he told me that his partner was actually leaving the station to work for someone else, and that he was interested in acquiring another person to help him with the load, because obviously it's difficult to go to the stadium every single day and to cover these teams. It's a difficult task sometimes. So I said I was super interested. I interviewed for the job and I got it, thank God. And luckily I get to go to the stadiums hopefully this next season every day. And it's a great job. I love what I do.
So what was it like that first time walking into a major league stadium as a reporter?
That first time, I'll say a little bit intimidating, I guess. Like, I mean, obviously you're not going to walk in and feel like you're like super confident immediately, even though we would all love to be, but it was surreal to be on the field and be around the players that you see every day. And then, it's just an awesome feeling to know it's just an awesome feeling to be there, because when you're watching the sport at home, or when you're a fan like we are, we want to be in the game, we want to play, and we want to be on the field, and we want to be a part of everything that's going on. So it's awesome to be a part of it in some capacity, even though it's a report. It's as a reporter, it's not playing the game, but still awesome to be there. And I love going to all these stadiums, man, because the fields are so absolutely beautiful, and I get to spend a lot of time on them.
That's amazing. That's really amazing. So when you're out on the field at Yankee Stadium or Citi Field, does it ever just feel surreal to you? I mean, some of these guys, you know, you grew up watching, and, you know, you're finally you're speaking to them, you're interviewing them, you're right around them all the time. Does it feel surreal to you?
Yeah, of course, man. It does feel surreal because like there's players that you've seen for your entire life. Like I remember I was at City Field one time and I was very, very early and there was almost no other reporter there. Actually, I think I was the only reporter on the field, but it was super early, even before players came out for batting practice and warmed up for warm-ups. And David Wright was actually there practicing to get back because he was injured. Mm-hmm. And then I got to see David Wright practice, like, basically by myself. He basically put on batting practice for me. and I was like, wow, this is incredible. So that was really awesome. And then sometimes, like, when I'm at Yankee Stadium and those big guys, Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton, pass by, and you're like, wow, these guys are ridiculously big. Like, Giancarlo Stanton, if you stand by him, you look like the smallest person in the world, or at least you feel like it, because this guy's humongous. But yeah, it's awesome. It's surreal because you watch these guys on TV every day, and then finally you get to be alongside them as a reporter. So it's a very awesome feeling.
So how long did it take you to kind of get acclimated? Because you mentioned it kind of just unfolded, this career path. Like speaking to these players and stuff like that, how long did it take you to, you know, find your feet?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's a learning curve and you need to become adjusted to the process of being at the stadium every day and also working your way around everything, because obviously you want to be professional and not step on these people's feet and stuff like that, because like there's a few things that you cannot do as a reporter. You can't ask for an autograph. That's not allowed, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You can't ask for pictures like a fan. Like, you're not a fan, you're doing a job. And that's one of the biggest things that I learned when I started, that everyone's there doing a job. Like, when you're there, it's for a purpose. There's a purpose. It's not there just to stand there and watch batting practice. You're there to speak to as many players as possible. You're there to do your job. And that's something that I learned right away, because I saw how they went away. Because it's very different when you're a fan and a reporter, because especially in the New York media is famous for being very, very difficult on players, very tough. And trust me, these guys know how tough we are, and they really, really don't like to talk to us sometimes, especially when they're struggling. So you understand the business side of it when you're in the dugout and you're happy, smiling, and then you say, hey, so-and-so, can I get an interview real quick? And they walk right by because they really don't want to talk about their losing streak and stuff like that, you know? So yeah, you learn a lot. You learn a lot pretty quickly, and then you realize that it's a business and you got to do your job too.
How do you go about building that rapport with players and building that reputation as, you know, the guy that they're comfortable coming to speak to?
Well, the first thing is to be there as often as possible so that they can see your face and get to know you. Because obviously if you're not there, they're going to be like, who's this guy? They don't want to talk to somebody that they're not really familiar with. And then once they are familiarized with you and your style of questioning, then they start to get a little more comfortable. Like one of the guys that I got to speak with a lot last year and I got to become pretty friendly with was Todd Frazier of the New York Mets. He was very cool. He was very, very, very willing to answer questions. He understands that we have a job to do and he helps us. It was cool to talk to like some of the players from the Atlanta Braves. It was cool. It was very awesome to see that. So yeah, you need to be persistent. You need to be there every day. You need to make sure that these guys see you. And you have to build a relationship with them, because they're not going to want to speak with you if you're not trying to build a relationship with them. And it kind of feels like you're being used sometimes as a baseball player, because you're getting pulled left and right. When you're in the dugout, it's very difficult to just sit in the dugout as a baseball player. Trust me, when you're in there, there's like a million reporters trying to get an interview from you. So it's very difficult, and it's tough to be a baseball player. So not only do you have to perform on the field, but you got to talk to the reporters. It sucks sometimes, but yeah, man, it's good to have a good relationship with the players.
So as you were breaking into this field, you know, you're around all these more experienced reporters. Did you ever have any doubts about if you could make it? Obviously, you know, there's a lot of competition out there.
Not necessarily doubts. Like, I'm a pretty self-confident person. I believe in my abilities. I think if I do something, then I believe that if I jump into something, it's because I believe that I can do it. But obviously, yeah, when you're first starting out and you see how these people run themselves and how they work, and because it's a competition. When you're a reporter, you're competing not only to not only with the baseball players that might not want to talk to you, but you're also competing with the other reporters that might get to a baseball player before you do. And they'll get the interview, and then you miss out on that interview. So it's so it can be intimidating sometimes, because you can see somebody that, because like I said, this is a job. They're doing their job too. And they need to, they're not there to be friends with you sometimes. There's some guys that, are mm-hmm. there for their job and that's it. They're not there to converse. They're there to do their job, and they're not trying to be friendly. They're not going to hold a baseball player for an extra second so that I can jump in and get an interview after they're done, you know? So it can be intimidating sometimes, but always have the confidence that I would be able to do this job, and hopefully I'm doing it okay.
Was there a particular turning point for you, you know, when you realized, like, you know, I belong here?
Yeah, I guess.
Anything that stands out?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I guess there was like a switch that flipped a couple of times into the reporting, because I started to feel comfortable going to the field, and I didn't have that same surreal feeling of going to the field. It started to become more like mm-hmm. a baseball field became my office instead of like the fan version of it, where I was like, oh man, I'm on the field watching batting practice type of thing. So once I got into that mode, I was able to mentally prepare myself every day well, and I would show up to the field ready to do whatever it took to do my job as well as I could. And yeah, so I guess maybe after my second time or third time going to the stadium, I was like, you know what, man, that's it. I'm good. I don't have that yeah. nervous feeling. I became more confident. I pursued baseball players much better than I did before. So it was, yeah, I guess that would be the turning point.
So this is kind of a selfish question. I just came up in my head. Do you have like a formula for asking questions? Like, do you have kind of like a script that you have in your mind of like things you want to ask these players, or does it just kind of come up as you go?
Yeah. I mean, you want to ask whatever the most interesting question is at that time. Cause if something like if there's a player involved in trade rumors, maybe you want to, it's a difficult question to ask, but it's what the fans want to hear. It's what people want to hear about. So that's what's most important. Like the most burning question. So that's usually, I try to talk about whatever the most important topic is, but I love to actually end interviews sometimes with some funny random questions, because these players get asked the same exact stuff every single day.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they get bored as hell hearing this stuff and getting, having to answer the same question over and over again. So, so it's fun to sometimes throw in random questions. Like with Todd Frazier, I asked him the serious questions. I said, how are you guys dealing with the losing streak? How do you guys keep your morale up? And then at the end, I was like, okay, so if you had to call one teammate and he picked up the phone, you would win $1 million. Who would it be? Questions like that, like stupid, funny questions. It's funny for the viewers and it's funny for him. And it builds a relationship with the player.
Yeah. I was watching that in your pinned tweet. I think.
Yeah, exactly.
The interview with Todd Frazier. That was really funny. You were asking him what he would cook you for dinner.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. They're random questions, but they're funny. I mean, cause these guys, they have to answer the same exact question every single day. So getting to answer something different is entertaining to them.
So I know a lot of our listeners out there, you know, might be interested in becoming reporters as well. What traits would you say are necessary to see success in your profession?
One trait is confidence. Obviously, that's something that in every profession is needed. I think that if you're ever going to become a reporter, you need to be confident enough to approach a baseball player and ask them for an interview. That's definitely one of the hardest mm-hmm. things, because when you're at the field and you see these guys preparing for a game, they have they're in like game mode. They're taking their hacks. They're in the batting. They're taking batting practice. They're in the cage, and like they're really not trying to answer any questions. They don't want to be interviewed, obviously. Like, they're trying to prepare for a baseball game. So you need to have the confidence to go up to a player and say, hey, do you mind answering a few questions real quick? And that's very important. And then on top of that, you also need to be opportunistic, I think, because you need to, whenever a baseball player is available, you need to grab that opportunity immediately, because if not, then they're going to be like, yeah, we'll talk later. Then he'll head into the clubhouse and you'll never see him again until game time. That's how it works sometimes. The player will say, yeah, he'll give us an interview, and then he'll run into the dugout and he'll leave into the clubhouse, and then we won't see him again, and that's it. We lost our opportunity. So you need to be opportunistic. You need to be confident. I think those are some important traits that are needed if you're going to be a good reporter.
And I've always wondered, this is like something I've always wondered about, because I'm not really in that business, but like what's like the huge deal about, you know, like Ken Rosenthal and people like that saying, I'm the first to report, or this guy was the first to report on that. Is that like a pride thing, or?
That's for credit, because there's a lot of people that will never like put the, like who reported it first. And then it's kind of like, you know, it's like childish, you know, like it's not, you weren't the first one to get it. So give credit to whoever it was that first reported it. So that's just how it's done between reporters. They put the name of the person that was able to get the report first. And it's for credit, and it's just like, I like it. I think it's morally right. I prefer that, because if I was the one to first get the scoop on where Bryce Harper's going to sign, which I wish I had, had that, then I would definitely want to be the one that was known for getting that information, because if not, then they're going to be like, oh, like Ken Rosenthal reported it. That's it. No one else knew that before him. And you know, you get more credibility if you're the first one to report something accurately. And then on top of that, other people will see that and they'll be like, wow, this man has some sources that we haven't, he got to the sources first. Maybe he has some good connections, and maybe a company will pursue you if they see that.
And how do you go about getting those sources? Like, is it just like building relationships in the front office with different people, or just, you know, getting to know people?
Yeah, I can't like go too into that, obviously, because sources are private. But yeah, it's networking, connections. You have to be able to be confident enough to pursue people that have that information. So that's what you need. You need networking skills. So if you can do that, then
gotcha.
Then you can. You can get your sources, like you said. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. That's interesting. I just always wondered that as a fan.
I wish we knew, like, when I was in that position, I wish I knew everyone that was the source, so that we can judge the accuracy of it. But but it's a difficult thing to acquire when you're, especially in my position, when you're young, because you're just starting out. So obviously you have to build up your credibility, and you have to build up your profile.
And I don't know how much you could speak to this, but like we touched on earlier about being the first to report something, how do you weigh like the accuracy of a report versus like the speed that you're going to get it out there? Because I know it's like all about speed these days with getting the tweet out there, getting the news out there. How do you verify that story is true before you push it out?
Well, I mean, you need to have the faith in your source that it's someone that is trustworthy. Obviously, I mean, some people get their sources straight from the player. Some people have the sources that are family members or friends with the players. Some sources are within organizations, you know, stuff like that. So it's you need to be able to trust that source, and if you trust it enough, then you can publish whatever they are able to give you. So it's a difficult thing, because sometimes reports are inaccurate. Like someone like Bob Nightingale reported that the Chicago White Sox offered Manny Machado an 8-year, I think $250 million deal. And then Manny Machado's agent immediately put out a response to that saying, oh, that this is inaccurate. This is going to hurt his offers, stuff like that. So yeah, it can definitely be a problem if you don't have the correct information, because you don't want to be inaccurate. You can lose a lot of credibility like that.
And that specific reporter is also a guy, you know, has fooled a lot of Phillies fans this offseason. I'm hoping all the Harper stuff is true. But, you know, he seems to be very confident that Harper's coming to Philly, but we'll see.
I mean, from my perspective, I think that Bryce Harper has, like, he doesn't have a love for Philly. That's why he hasn't decided on it yet. If he loved Philadelphia, then I think he would have already signed. But I think that the Phillies have one of the strongest offers. So I think that at the end of the day, he's going to have to probably accept the Phillies offer. I think they're probably the ones that are most pursuing him. Yeah.
Yeah. And have the money. I mean, I don't know about other teams with the money. I guess, I think I was reading your tweets about the Padres and stuff like that.
Yeah, the Padres are definitely pursuing Manny Machado very aggressively, and that's very interesting because it's a franchise that needs It needs some playoff baseball. It needs some type of motivation for to bring the fans to the ballpark. So signing Manny Machado would definitely be a big step along with the other prospects. So it's it's an interesting time in baseball.
Yeah, because he came in like swinging his first year, and you know that obviously didn't work out. Now he's going back after all these big free agents.
Mm-hmm. He went after he traded for Craig Kimbrel. He acquired Justin Upton, a few different players.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. Maybe by the time this podcast gets released, all this news will be, you know, old news.
Yeah, it's a difficult time in baseball because I think these players have received big, substantial offers. It's just that I think that, like, you know, like a player like Machado's case, he wanted a team like he specifically in his mind he wanted the Yankees, and the Yankees weren't the ones with the biggest offers. So it's one thing to say that these players aren't getting big offers because they are. It's just that they're not getting the offers from the teams that they wanted to get the offer from. You know what I'm saying? So because a player like Machado and Harper, they're being pursued aggressively, but it's that they have these offers. It's just that they don't want. You know, they aren't in love with the options that they have, I guess you could say.
So it's not, I mean, a lot of fans like to say it's all about the money, but it really is showing that it's not.
Yeah, you know, it's they wanted both the money and the right location, but at this point in time, I think that it's just going to have to be about the money.
Yeah. That'll be interesting to see. And in your personal opinion, about Machado, I didn't mean to like delve into all this baseball talk, but this is where it's leading. So, Machado's case, do you think his behavior in the World Series affected his stock? Because people are saying yes and no.
I don't think so. I don't think that it hurt him because I think that a player like that is too good to, you know, I mean, even if he doesn't hustle every play, I mean, he's usually on the field every single day. And if you have Manny Machado every single day, then what are you going to be upset about that? I mean, he's an incredible player. And even though I don't love those comments about him not hustling, because I love players that do hustle, no, I don't think that his market is hurt because of that. I think the people that wanted to be in on him are in on him already. So no one is staying out because of those comments. I don't think that anyone would be stupid enough to stay out just because of those comments.
So getting back on track here, being around these players so much, have you noticed anything about their mindset that's different than the average person? Like, are there any particular players you've noticed kind of going along with the theme of this podcast that have the underdog mentality, guys who, you know, feed off the criticism and use it as motivation?
Yeah, I think that, I think that for any person in life to be successful, and especially, for baseball players to get to the position where they are, they need to have a different kind of mindset. It's a confidence. It's even a slight arrogance, but still, it's important to have because you need to have that edge in order for you to get to the next level. Without it, it's more difficult because if you don't think that you're the best, then nobody else will, and you're not going to get to where they are unless you work your ass off and you think that way, you have that confidence in yourself. So yeah, they definitely, when you're around these baseball players, you can feel their dedication and confidence around them. It's good. It's a good feeling because you can learn a lot from it because you want to carry yourself that way too, because it's a great way to live, to be confident in yourself and to know that you can do things and have the confidence to do things.
Yeah, and that's the whole purpose of, you know, telling these stories. And that's why I'm glad to have you here because, you know, we're speaking about the players, but it applies to everything, as you said. It applies to every career field. That confidence and having that tough mindset is just such a powerful, powerful tool to have.
Yes, I agree, man, 100%, because nobody else will believe in you you have to believe in yourself. So you can't start off 50 feet back. I mean, by thinking that you're not good enough and not having the confidence in yourself to pursue whatever it is that you want to pursue. So if you want to be great at something, go entirely towards it and have the confidence in yourself so that you can be successful. Because even if you're not the best in your field or the greatest at something, if you have the confidence to do it, there's a lot of people that are great at something, but just don't have that motivation, that drive. So if you have that, that's a great advantage already. You have a very, very good advantage.
So before we wrap this up, I like to ask all my guests this, because every single person gives me a different answer. What would you say is your biggest piece of advice for people out there who are pursuing a dream?
Something that I think about sometimes, and that's a surreal thought, is that you really only live once, man, and you need to take advantage of the one life that you're given. And if there's something that you want to do, you need to pursue it as hard as you can, because at the end of the day, we all end up at the same place, man, and you really got to pursue that. You got to pursue whatever you love, because if not, you're going to be wasting your time. And one thing I insanely love is baseball, and I'm lucky enough to be able to be around it a lot. So if you are a fan of something, if you want to pursue a career in something that maybe it's not like a regular job or some mundane thing that people will look at you weirdly because you're pursuing it, don't even think about that. Just pursue it, man, because it's important that you get the most out of your life.
That's really great advice. And Manny, thank you so much for coming on, sharing your story. Really respect your hard work and especially your passion for what you're doing. I could just tell with the way you speak about this thank stuff. You. And I hope you have a blast down at spring training. I know you're going down pretty soon.
Yeah, I'll be there. I think I'm going to Yankees spring training maybe next week, and then I'll be at Mets spring training too. And then because of the games that they play, there's going to be players from different teams that come visit, obviously. So maybe I'll talk to a few of the Nationals players, maybe some Houston Astros players, different players from different franchises. So awesome. Yeah, it should be fun, man. I love going down there.
Looking forward to that. And do you want to tell our listeners where they can find you on social media so they can, you know, follow those stories that you're putting out there?
Yeah, of course. If you are interested in Major League Baseball, I hope you all are, you can find me on Twitter at underscore Manny95. And the same thing for Instagram at underscore Manny95. So if you are interested in that, I'm going to have a ton of content over the next few weeks and over the season, because I really want to be able to put out a lot of stuff for the fans.
Great stuff, man. And I'm gonna link to those in the article that accompanies this podcast, so everyone will be able to get on there and follow you.
Awesome. Thank you.
And Manny, thanks again, dude, for coming on, taking the time out of your day to come on the show.
Oh, not a problem. Thank you for having me, man. It was a great conversation.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, or if you learned something new, smash that subscribe button and leave us a quick review. Hustle and Motivate is presented by JokerMag.com, the home of the underdog.